listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents Finding and Seeking, the sermon by the Reverend Gene Randall Bodman, presented on Sunday, January 7th, 2018.
Our liberating word, our scripture lesson for this morning, is taken from Matthew's Gospel in the second chapter. A story that we all know and sometimes don't really hear. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. May God bless to us the hearing and understanding of God's word. In the name of God, who breathed us into life, breathes through us, and will return our breath to us at the resurrection. Amen. Let me just start by observing that our text for this morning, which is deeply familiar in religious art of the most exquisite kind, like Rembrandt, to religious art of the most sentimental kind, like Hallmark cards. It's familiar from song and pageant and story. It is so much a part of the Christmas tradition that we inherit as children that we rarely pause over it. This familiar and even comforting story is also deeply odd. Matthew's version of the story, and Matthew's version is the only one in the New Testament, leaves out more than it includes. For instance, we may have grown up singing "We Three Kings of Orient Are," but according to Matthew, they were not kings, but wise men, magi, perhaps astronomers. We also don't know that there were three, just that there was more than one, as the text uses the plural for men. We don't know exactly where they came from, or how long the journey took, or how old Jesus was when they got there. We don't know why they decided to leave their homes in the first place and light out for Jerusalem to pay homage to an infant king of a foreign state. And we really don't know about that mysterious star that got them on the move in the first place. The text tells us that they saw it at its rising and that they read it as a signal that the king of the Jews had been born. So, off they went to Jerusalem to look for the new baby king. Then, only after they had learned from Herod, who, by the way, had to ask the chief priests, although he too was a Jew and should have known what the prophecy said. Only after they had learned that he was supposed to be born in Bethlehem did the star reappear and lead them to the very place where the child was. Did they travel at night? And after their stop in Jerusalem and the reappearance of the star, did no one else see this light that was giving them so much life-changing information? The road from Jerusalem to Bethlehem was a well-traveled route, but it was not a fancy paved Roman road. It was a well-beaten earthen track. Did nobody notice these foreigners who kept their eyes not on the ground to secure their footing, but on the skies to find their way? Perhaps these really were magicians who could find an exact location by way of a star. I don't know about you, but I've only had one experience of trying to navigate by starlight. It came when some friends and I decided to climb Long's Peak, one of Colorado's famed 14ers, that is, mountains over 14,000 feet. It is an arduous hike, well over 12 hours to the summit and back, and the mountain is famous for its late afternoon thunderstorms and swift weather shifts. So, like most hikers, we set out at 3 a.m. under a barely visible crescent moon and bright starlight. My friend Kelly, who skis with Colorado Mountain Rescue, was our expert on the trip, and she knew how to navigate by starlight. Well, let's just say it was a general direction that we took, not an exact location. And finding the correct trailhead at the end of the large field included a lot of hilarity and giggling. It was not precise. How low in the sky was that star the Magi were following? It sounds more like a drone than a star. Didn't anyone else see it? There's certainly no attestation to it in historical texts outside the Bible. And another puzzle in this text is Herod's response. Now, I don't mean the plotting to use the wise men to find and then eliminate an infant pretender to his throne. That sounds exactly like the kind of machinations that kings and emperors have been making since kingdoms and empires began. No, my question is, why on earth would he pay attention to these strangers and their strange story about an infant king of the Jews? Why was he worried? He was the king. Everyone knew it. And why was all of Jerusalem afraid with him? Those were just a few of the many questions I wrote in the margins of my text this week. It may be that, oddness aside, this story is historically true and accurate. Learned people who lived east of Jerusalem noted a new star, or an old star burning more brightly than ever before, and they connected that celestial event with prophecies. It's quite possible. It's possible because the Jews had, after all, been taken captive into Babylon in the 6th century. And when they were later allowed to return to the land, some of them stayed. Perhaps these Eastern wise people were their descendants. Or maybe they were God-fearers, like the non-Jewish participants in the synagogue in the Greek world, Gentiles who participated in the life of the synagogue without converting. Maybe that was why they knew about the prophecy. It's possible that it happened the way Matthew relates it. And biblical scholars have long agreed about the function of the story for Matthew. Matthew is the gospel that roots Jesus most firmly in his identity as a Jew. It roots him through direct quotation of prophecy, by making comparisons between Jesus and Moses as leaders of the people, by quoting Jesus, who said, "I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." But Matthew was also writing in the face of the fall of the temple and the success of the Jesus movement in the Gentile world. So the story of the Magi is the story of God's incarnation, not just for the people of Israel, but for all the people. And this may be why the church developed the tradition, and you may have seen it in your own creche sets at home, of having three kings of three different races, the three races known to the ancient world, because Jesus came for all the people. Well, all of that's quite interesting-ish, but what does it tell us? What does it add to the story of the incarnation for us? Perhaps we should consider, with John Dominic Crossan and Marcus Borg, that the journey of the Magi never happened. And yet, it is always happening. In their reading, the story of the Magi is a parable, a beautiful story that tells the truth without needing to be historically accurate. Barbara Brown Taylor retells the story this way. Once upon a time, there were three, yes, three, wise men, very wise, who were all sitting in their own countries, minding their own business, when a bright star lodged in the right eye of each one of them. It was so bright that none of them could tell whether it was burning in the sky or in their own imaginations. But they were so wise that they knew it did not matter all that much where it was burning. The point was, something beyond them was calling them. And it was a tug they had been waiting for all their lives. The star called them out, away from everything they knew how to manage and survive, out from under the reputations they had built for themselves. And so they set out one by one, each believing that he was the only one with a star in his eye, until they all ran into one another on the road to Jerusalem. You can read the rest of her beautiful rendition in the volume named for this story, Home by Another Way. No matter how we imagine it or tell it, where they came from, how far they traveled, whether they walked or traveled by the camels so popular on Christmas cards, this story, this parable, has a message for all of us who live far from the events of Bethlehem and can sometimes feel far from understanding the import of the incarnation and even far from understanding the meaning of our own lives. The message of the parable is that God may become incarnate in a backwater among insignificant people, but not in order to remain unknown. In fact, God lights the way for us, too. Lutheran pastor John Hutchings put it this way: God has made it easy to find God. The points of light to guide our feet to the Christ are as numerous as the stars in the sky. The essential skill to hone is the capacity to notice your life. As you take notice of your life, an enchanting awareness may surface, that there is a mysterious power at work, weaving together the strands of your life into a unique, beautiful tapestry that is you. The next step, after noticing that there is this light surrounding your path, is to set out upon a conscious spiritual journey. Become like the Magi. Load up your metaphorical camels and set out across the landscape of your soul to where it is that the light stops. And here's a little secret pearl to take with you on your way. There is no single final destination that you need to arrive at in your lifetime. Do you think that the Magi's spiritual journey was over when they arrived at the stable? That they found Christ and then stopped growing? Don't believe it. Christ is the ever-present light of their lives and our lives, beckoning from the many stars that allure us, calling us toward our own beloved image, and inspiring us to give our lives as an offering so that all of creation may continue to grow. This growth is not random. Each of us has a unique role to play. But let's not be naive. It isn't always simple. And there are rocks in the path. Each of us possesses and may also meet on the way an inner Herod who doesn't like paying homage to anyone, any king, other than itself. The story of the Magi gets this detail exactly correct. Something within us resists God. Call it ego, if you will, but there is something within us that thinks that it alone deserves gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It does not want to worship or pay homage. It wants to be on the receiving end of both, and it will go to great lengths to make it happen. That thing inside us, that boulder in our way, wants to know where the light is leading, not to submit to it in awe and wonder, not to give thanks or to sing praise, but rather to scope it out as a rival, in a vain attempt to outshine it or cap its light. Herod is not just internal, but it can also be found in our families and in our social, political, economic, and even in our religious systems. Herod is present as the power of domination. Herod hates the fascination and awe of others unless it is directed towards Herod. Herod, within and without, refuses to serve any higher power. Herod refuses to fit in. Herod refuses to receive grace and be loved and to love. But fear not, your inner Magi, who sees the light, is very wise. And just like the parable teaches us, Herod may summon the Magi in an effort to find out where the light is leading. Herod may pretend to want to offer gifts, but the Magi see right through it. There is an angel, a light, the light of your own soul, that will not cooperate with Herod. Like the Magi, we can ignore Herod, leave gifts with the Christ child, and head home by another path. This is the path of Epiphany, the path of spiritual wisdom that trusts the light, follows it wherever it may lead, discerns the wily, violent intentions of inner and outer Herods, and returns home, always home, to the heart of God. So you see, the story of the Magi and the Magi's journey may never have happened, and yet it is always happening. May the light of the world lead you home, always home, to the heart of God.
Listen, listen, listen.